This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling,
here's your host, Sue Freeze.
Well, here we are again on Saturday, and I'm so excited to be here. Do you believe God works through us? I do. I believe that God puts people in our lives to help us learn in the same way he would teach us. Have you ever thought or said, I want to ask Jesus about that when I get to heaven? I have too. God can place people in our lives to help us now. There are experiences that I've gone through that may help you with something you are dealing with. You've had experiences that I can learn from also. If we collectively put our experiences, successes, failures, relationships, heartbreaks together and seek God's wisdom, we can live better lives. And that's what this show is about. This show isn't about Sue. It's about experiences. And we say, you know, people ask me, what's the show about, Sue? And I say, well, it's pursuit of passion, purpose, and connection. And who needs that? I know I do. How about you? I also want to say that if you are in your car right now and you are listening and you have to get out of your car, you don't have to stop listening because I think we're going to have an amazing show today. We've got some really good things coming up, so we don't want you to miss out on any of it. So what I would like for you to do is if you have to get out of your car, you can go into your house, you can turn on your computer, and you can stream us. If you don't know what that is, all it means is you can click on kkla.com and you can push on, you can click on where it says listen live. And you can listen live. And that's a wonderful thing. We are also simulcasted up in Santa Maria and San Diego. So it's really wonderful to think now that what we have to say is going to go even further. It's a wonderful thing. I'm also going to invite you to not only tune in, but get involved. Our phone number is 888-995-5552. Again, 888-995-5552, because we want to hear from you. Today, our speaker or our guest is Dave Zarino. Dave Zarino grew up in Montebello, California, and went to college at Cal Poly Pomona, where he studied biotechnology and, more importantly, came to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. The original plan for life was to go into the medical field, but things changed as he grew in faith. He eventually went into ministry and worked for Campus Crusade for Christ a year after graduating from college. After a few years of serving at the University of Hawaii, he eventually went back to school for theology at Master's Seminary and graduated with an MDIV. Don't know what that is, but I'm sure he'll explain. He currently serves at Cornerstone Church as a non-married pastor. Non-married's pastor. So, Dave Zarino, are you there?
I'm here. Hello, Sue. How you doing?
Fine. Dave's a little nervous because he's never been on the radio before, and he says it's kind of surreal being in this room with all this equipment. Right, Dave?
It is. It's really cool, by the way. It's exciting. And, hopefully you can share a little bit, and hopefully people will be encouraged by what the Word says, and even just through experiences of my experiences and other people I've got to counsel through the years.
That's wonderful. So we're going to get right into some questions. Are you ready for that?
Yeah, I'm up. Go ahead. Shoot.
Okay. What is the most important thing a non-married person should do with his or her life?
Well, obviously, it's being a Christian reader, the answer is pretty obvious. Back in Deuteronomy 6:4, the Word says, hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might. And the irony is that in Mark chapter 12, the Pharisees and Sadducees asked Jesus, well, what's the greatest commandment? And he quotes that verse. He also adds, to love others. And basically, that's, the point of anyone's life, is to prioritize God and just continue to love and grow in the Lord. And especially through our love for the Lord, it's going to help us to love others. And Scripture's so indicated of that. And so many people get burned out of their faith, but we forget, our first love. It's so cliched, But we need, all of us need to be constantly reminded, especially, you know, single people. You know, we get caught up getting busy with life, busy with school, busy with relationships. And sometimes when things go wrong, we always forget where our first love truly was. It's not our careers. It's not our boyfriends or girlfriends. It should be our Lord. And that's when, as I've seen from doing singles ministry and doing college ministry, is it's just that. It's just always continue to prioritize in God wherever we're at, whether we're single, married, or even just in a dating relationship.
You know, I can remember back. It was a long time ago, but I can remember back when I was young and full of life. I'm still full of life, but I mean, I was just full of the world being ahead of me. And now I have all this wisdom. But back then, I just remember, you know, for instance, we go through elementary school, junior high, and during elementary school, we're so awkward, and kids can be so mean. And then you get into junior high, and that's even more awkward, and we look so awkward, and everything is just, okay, you don't really fit because you're past the age of being in the elementary, and then you're not old enough to be in high school. So then you get into high school, and you learn about what's important from the world's point of view. Is, you know, okay, being popular means what? It means dress this way, and it means talk like this. Hang out with those people, not those people. And it's like, you know, you get groomed into fitting in, and you want to fit in, and that's huge. People want to fit in, and yeah, it's very difficult to not follow the crowd in fitting in. And as Christians, I think we're called to a higher calling, and we're called to do things differently, aren't we?
We are, and it's just so true. You know, the irony is... I think for many of us, I know for myself, college was probably the prime or the pinnacle of my faith. You know, I was surrounded by a good, solid group of believers. We were strong. All of us, it seemed like we're always continually encouraging each other, praying for each other. And what I've seen a lot of times is really most is when people graduate from college and go into professional careers, it's really easy to get caught up in the world. It's easy to get caught up with work. It's easy to get caught up, you know, even just going back to school. And you can get caught up with monetary finances, like, you know, buying a house, buying a nicer car. And the irony, it's only until we hit trials. It's only when we lose that house or when we lose that car or lose that job and we decide, you know, to go back to our first love. And it's so true, you know. It seems like the older we get, the more caught up we get in life and just things of the world. And it is a challenge, you know, especially for a single person because you get thrown so many, like, commercial ads telling you, you know, you need to be something else. You need to be skinnier. You need to have more money, and we forget what we have in Christ. We forget how Christ, you know, died for our sins, and we forget how it's truly Him that gave us a life and gave us purpose, and we so easily forget that. So it's so. I mean, myself as well. I mean, being a full time ministry, I can get stuck in the rut and get stuck and caught up. And if it wasn't just for people keeping me accountable, lovingly keeping me accountable, I don't know where I'd be. You know.
That's really good, accountability. I think that's so important because we can, you know, we can feel isolated if we don't have people surrounding us that are positive and, you know, speaking over us of encouragement and having a leader of some type, somebody that can speak the truth to us. And it's also important that we have a safe place, and we need to pick that place. We can't have, I used to tell my children when they were growing up, you know, don't let your friends pick you. You pick your friends and pick wisely. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we tend to emulate or turn out like the people we hang out with. So we want to choose our friends, the people we hang with. We want to choose them wisely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do.
And as, you know, in single ministry, I'm sure you see all kinds of walks of life coming through there. Mm-hmm. And you have people, different stages in their walk or their love or their quest for the Lord.
Yeah.
And let me ask you a question, Dave. What would you say? I love kids. I love teenagers. I love children. And I just went to church last Sunday. I went to two different churches last Sunday. And one of the churches was talking about the wisdom of the elderly, which I fit into that category now as much as I don't want to admit it. Mm-hmm. But the wisdom that we have and how we can share that with the younger generation. I remember growing, you know, when I was young and, you know, like with new children, it's like, oh my gosh, I would call my sister and say, does this ever get any easier? And she said to me the most wise thing. She says, Sue, it doesn't get easier. It just gets different. Mm-hmm. And isn't that true with life? It doesn't really get easier. It just gets different. And every stage brings new challenges. Mm-hmm. So as a single, And you've got all these different people, different stages in their walk, different stages in their understanding and their quest of the Lord. What advice do you give them as far as, you know, staying with their first love, some don't even know what that means, mm-hmm. especially if you haven't had yeah. a father that's been loving. And all that's you've true. Had, because I've met a lot of children that have been brought up in abusive homes, dysfunction is rampant, mm-hmm. dysfunctional homes. So with that all said, you know, if your fatherly love is all you know is what you had as a child mm-hmm. with your father, and that isn't so lovely,
yeah.
then, you know, how do you help them distinguish the father's love, other than, you know, he sacrificed yeah. his only son for us.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of advice would you give them? I know that's a huge question.
Yeah,
but
no, it's a tough question. And first off, Sue, I just want to say, I wouldn't call you elderly. I would say you're more mature and a lot more wiser than most. So.
Oh, thank you so much for your grace.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just our culture. You know, I think we don't value more mature people in our, you know, in just our culture, you know, and the wisdom we can learn from as younger people. But yeah, as far as your question, it is a tough question. And in a lot of ways, I was fortunate. You know, I had two parents, both still married, and I both saw and felt love from them. Being a Filipino American, I grew up here in the States. My parents obviously grew up in the Philippines, but with my relationship with them, you know, I've always known that they love me, but we never really talked it out. So that's something I had to learn from the church and from solid people that discipled or mentored me. And this is where I think the church really needs to pick up a slack, is really understanding what biblical love is. So when people, new believers, whether it be our own kids or even kids of other people who didn't really receive that love from their biological fathers, where we need to show them that love. Because scripture does say, and it's clear, you know, about what biblical love is. And the irony is that there's this verse, it's in John 13, 34, 35. It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. For this, people will know you're my disciples. And the irony is that the only trait that people will be defined as Christ's disciples or Christ's followers is our love for each other. And the amazing thing about that passage is that Jesus told his apostles that right the night before he died. So they knew exactly what he was talking about. It is sacrificial love. And as far as teaching these kids who don't have that love in their homes, I mean, it's just really a huge opportunity for us as a church body to come alongside them and, you know, and be their mentors and to help them understand what biblical love means. I had two people that took me under the wing, that discipled me and mentored me. Two guys were Jim Kirchival in college, and one of the guys that when I was in Hawaii, I worked, that he was my boss, but also my mentor, Gordon Newman. They taught me aspects of biblical love, of manly love, I guess, in a father figure kind of way that my biological father didn't. And that's where I think we as a church can. And that's why I'm so grateful to our lead pastor now, Ty Nosweinger. He adopted two kids, and they're continuing to adopt. And for those kids, they may not ever receive love from their biological fathers, but the cool thing is here's a guy that's coming along and going to show them throughout their lives. And we can do that as a community of believers, you know. And I think that's something where we as a church, the Christian church, really need to continue to grow in and understand so we can provide that, you know, true biblical love, so we can really be followers of Christ and really understand. But I think at the same time, you know, as church leaders, we need to continue to teach and model that and what really biblical love looks like. And it's not just a feeling, you know, it's more than that. It is an action. It is being patient. It's being kind. It is not holding any wrong. And the irony about that love, it's kind of a natural, but at the same time, we need to understand it's a blessing. God will bless and honor it. And it's an opportunity to really be a witness and be used tremendously for the kingdom and by God, through God.
So. If you're single, this is the Sue Freeze Show on KKLA 99.5. And if you're single and you have a question of a frustration or a trial that you're facing, you can call in. And the phone number is 888-995-5552. And Melissa, my producer, will pick up the phone and she'll talk to you for a minute. And either we will ask the question on the air. So if you're nervous about coming on the air, that's fine. You can still ask your question and we can answer it. Or you can get on the radio maybe. So if you'd like to ask a question about anything to do with being single and following the Lord, then we'd love to hear from you. 888-995-5552. So the question still is, Dave, What advice do you give a single person? You're saying to put the Lord first. That's what it says in the Bible. Put the Lord first in all things, and then love thy neighbor as thyself. And if you do those two things, you know, people say, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Tell me what to do and I'll do it. Well, the Bible says that's what you do, is you put the Lord first. He comes before everything else. And if you put him first. So what does that look like? I know you have to spend time. Mm-hmm. If you put something first, you put time into that. So if you're going to put time into that relationship, what does that look like, Dave?
Good question, too. Basically, if you think of any friendship we've ever had or any relationship we had, you know, there is a degree of time. You know, there's time spent, whether it be hanging out at a coffee shop, whether it be doing projects, homework projects together, or whether it be working together alongside, there's a degree of time that's involved in developing that relationship, whether and also to sometimes maybe years. And that's in a lot of ways similar to our relationship with God. I mean, God talks to us through God's word, and so in that sense we should read God's word so we can understand what our Heavenly Father desires of us and asks of us. And also at the same time, we can talk to God through prayer, just spending time in a quiet room, no distractions, and just really pouring our hearts to the Lord, giving our trials to him, even frustrations. But at the same time, being mindful, you know, this is our Heavenly Father, and paying our respect and gratitude, being just grateful for the little things, you know. So there are, and that just develops over time. And also to just, and like many of our relationships we all have mutual friends, and it also takes time even through hanging out with other believers and spending time with them, and just like what the C3 show is about, just learning through people's experiences, you know, and that's a good way too, because God uses other people, uses his church body to help us to grow, and so those are certain things that we can do, and that are really actually foundational to our faith, is, you know, fellowship with other believers, spend time with them.
So go to church.
Go to church, basically, yeah.
Yes.
Go to church.
Iron sharpens iron.
It's true. Amen to that. And, and also reading your Bible and just simply praying and, you know, starting off and really being purposeful in getting to know God's people, the church, other believers. But more importantly, it's just doing our best and really just coming to realization of what God's done for us, you know, through Christ and through his death and resurrection.
A new believer calls and says, I don't know what Bible to choose. There's so many Bibles to choose from, and I don't know where to start reading the Bible. Where do I start?
There's a lot of good translations that will help
you
out.
What do you suggest, Dave?
I personally suggest a ESV, the English Standard Version.
Okay.
Largely because they do a good job of helping the translation of original language that's read smoothly. But at the same time, it doesn't sacrifice. A lot of the scholars that worked on it did their best to not sacrifice what the real meaning.
So say that
attention.
Again. What Bible is that?
ESV, the English Standard Version.
Okay, I have an NIV, and I love that.
Yeah, that's
good
too.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's very good. I got really caught up in the King James with the thous and the. You know, I couldn't really understand what was being said. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't mean that it's saying something different. The words are, they might be a different word, but it's very similar and the stories are the same. And so there's a lot of Bibles to choose from. I know that I just sit down and look at the Bibles and see which one feels comfortable. And for somebody that wants to really, you know, personalities are different. So if somebody really wants to get deeper into a word or something, then they might want a different Bible, a study Bible, than somebody that just kind of wants the overall story. I just want to get the gist of this whole thing. And the gist is, love thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, and love thy neighbor as thyself.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the things that are most important. And if we believe those things, then we can move forward in all of this. And so, that's a really good thing. And being involved with other people so that you're not feeling isolated. Isolation can really hurt. I know pastors that really suffer with this, because I know a lot of pastors that, you know, a lot of people are needing a lot of things. We all need. We all are in need. Even pastors are in need. They have need. We need to pray for them and lift them up on a daily basis. But with that, what happens is that we try to give this you know, we have to be all there is, or we have to take care of everybody all the time. I know I fell into this category for a while, and it wears you out. And pastors and people that are in ministry, they need to get fed too. So we need to lift them up in prayer, but even they need to have some place to go. They need to have some accountability, and they need to have some place to go to really be real. Isn't it wonderful to be in a safe place where you can really let your hair down and say, this is really how I'm feeling and this is what I'm thinking, and not have people be judging you but loving you and working through it together with you? Wouldn't that be amazing if we all did that? We wouldn't have wars. If we could do that, wouldn't it be an amazing thing to not have to put on this mask? We talk about that in church too, putting on that mask. But just to be real and to have a safe place to be real. Wouldn't that be wonderful, Dave?
Yeah, it would be.
And, do you give that? I'm sure you do for your singles group. You're probably really just there. Transparent, vulnerable.
Most
right?
of the time. Anytime I would put up. Well, yeah, I mean, I try. I mean, and even scripture really indicates that. You know, Romans 12:9 says, you know, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast what is good. And it also goes on and says, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. And the idea of this brotherly affection, really in the original language, is really the idea of family. You know, regardless of how we all look, or regardless of how we look, or even of what we can get from people, you know, we love them just for the sake of loving people. And there is a degree of, you know, commitment to each other, because family stays together. And that's always been a prayer, and that's what we all need. I mean, even myself, I'm just really grateful that a lot of the people that I serve with are my friends. You know, we hang out a lot. You know, we go hiking. We just came from a backpacking trip this past week, and it was just opportunity, you know, just to, you know, to share with them the struggles I go through. You know, and there's times when I really don't know what I'm doing with my life. I really don't. But I'm grateful that I have God's word, and I'm grateful that I have people that do care, and I can really call my church family, and I can be honest and be real. And my prayer is that people would be the same with me, and that's just really comes down to biblical love and just really living it out again. You know, I know it sounds so simple, but the reality is we just continue to do it and continue to develop it on a daily basis. You know, and really living life together, and that's where I'm grateful too, and really been blessed. You know, a lot of people that I get to serve with, I get to, you know, obviously teach and hopefully leading in a proper way. I call them all my friends, and I just really enjoy their company. And there's just times and I just wish that I had more time to give, or just more of me to hang out with them. So in that sense, we all need that, and I'm just grateful that I'm in a place where we can live that out, you know. But at the same time, it does take prayer, like any relationship. It does take work, and all of us, you know, at some point or another have sinned against each other, and we need to be able to forgive in order to create that environment that we can be transparent.
Why do so many people, single people, get into bad relationships?
A lot of it too is, aside from the obvious about losing priority on our faith, a lot of it too is, it can be unrealistic expectations. You know, something we talk about all the time. You know, there are times when people have lists of traits and qualities that they want, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I tell people, you know, be realistic about them, because, you know, Scripture does say, you know, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we're all sinners. So we all have a degree of baggage and degree of issues that we're all dealing with. But at the same time, we need to, we need to just also be realistic, and also too, just be looking for the right things in a person. And some of the, when in a few of the areas where I've seen people have really struggled and making poor choices in relationships was a lot of times with people who were actually lonely and really really desperate for a relationship, because when that loneliness and desperation set in, they just basically got into any relationship that was available, and as that relationship developed, they really failed to see the warning signs, whether it be anger or drugs or whatever, and people warn them to get out, but because they were so caught up in not being lonely and just wanting this relationship, and this relationship became their priority instead of God, they just got the relationship just went stale, and really two people were hurt from that episode. But the bottom line is just really focusing on the Lord, but having realistic expectations, and really to looking for the right things. And, you know, and a guy or a gal, you know, are they walking with the Lord? Are they truly doing their best to live it out? You know, Scripture says, you know, faith without works is dead. And he's not saying, you know, we have to earn our salvation, but he's just saying, you know, there should be evidence of your faith. You know, are they going to church? Are they spending time in the Word? Do they have solid Christian fellowship, solid Christian friends that are helping them grow, that are praying for them, and vice versa? Are they involved with other people's lives? Are they living this thing called Christianity with other people? And so there are things that I think people have a challenge with when looking for a relationship. Is just looking for the right things, you know.
Is there a list that you have that you give to your single group saying these are the checkoff lists that you need to ask the person that you're liking right now to see if it would be a good thing to continue? Do you have a list like that? Is there a list out there? Did somebody make that list?
Yeah. Probably should. Probably make a lot of money and make it and sell it and put it in book form some way. But
that'd be great, wouldn't it? I think I'd have a lot of people. I'd have a lot of hits on my SueFreeze.com page if I had a list that said, here's the list. If you can get through this list and you can get an A+ in all of these questions, then you might have a successful relationship.
And the perfect marriage, right?
Oh, maybe. Is there such a thing?
It's such a big question, but the bottom line is, it's really things to look for. I'm just kind of trying to think through the main things. Well, a lot of times, what I tell people really is just allowing, just being patient in these relationships. Because as you get to know people, truth, as time goes on, you know, time is a real revealer of truth. I tell people that all the time. And as you get to know this person, as you spend time with them, you're going to see who they really are. And obviously, we can compare them to what Scripture says. You know, does this person truly have a genuine faith? Does he really have a love for the Lord? You know, and you'll see that in daily practice. Is he spending time in his Bible? Is he in prayer?
Hey, Dave.
Is she in prayer?
We have hold on to that thought, okay, if you can, but we're going to go to break. And I have Bonnie on the air, but we're not going to put her on the air right now because we're going to go to break. And I want to give her a little more time than that. Mm-hmm. So we will be back with more of the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world. Termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola. Powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Freeze Show.
Okay, so we're back with Dave Zarino. He's a singles minister at a local church. And we have Bonnie from Lakewood who is on the air. And she has, I only have part of what she wants to talk about, but has an isolated nephew who is single. And she wants advice about something. So, Bonnie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, I can't hear you. Can you speak up?
Yes.
Oh, perfect.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, much better. Okay, this is Reader's Digest version. But what's your question?
My question is, my nephew has moved to Lafayette, Louisiana, and he feels very isolated. He's also going through the breakup of somebody he really loved a lot.
Aw, so sad.
I know.
Yeah.
And he's having a hard time letting go of that, and he can't find friends. He said they're very enclosed there, and he's very gregarious. He's always had a lot of friends.
Hmm.
So what, our family is Catholic, and he has virtually turned away from God.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, that is a challenge because since he's living out there and being a new place, there is a degree of culture that he has to get used to out there.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, he's at a point where he is probably suffering, you know, some degrees of maybe depression because of or have lost because of this relationship. So obviously, continue to pray for him. But at the same time, you know, even to encourage him, you know, I mean, I really don't know him where he's at with his faith, but maybe even encourage him, you know, like maybe it's a time, you know, since you're alone, is be a time just to seek out God. And I'm really just start praying and just really going back to the basics, you know. Sometimes, you know, God puts us in these situations where we're alone and we have nowhere else to go so we can depend on him and we can trust in him. And maybe that's where, you know, your nephew's at right now. And
she said he turned away from God. So if he's turned away from God.
He's very strong. He's a music composer.
Oh, really?
And he wrote a mass. It was so beautiful. And now he's just totally turned away from all of that. Because his girlfriend left and he moved somewhere that isn't working. And
Right. So he feels like maybe God let him down.
Left him.
Yeah. In those instances, you know, the only thing you can do is be there, you know, be there for him when he needs you. Continue to pray. Because bottom line, if he's made up his mind about God, it's going to be hard. Like, really nothing we can do or say will convince him aside from really just praying for him. And sometimes, you know, I've had friends like that, and a lot of times I just pray that God would humble them, so there'd be a place where they really need the Lord, you know. And I know it's tough, and it's sometimes a hard prayer to pray because, you know, we want what's best for our friends, and but sometimes in the long run that might be the, you know, where he's at. He's out there for a reason, and you know, obviously God is sovereign, and he knows he's out there, and so just continue to trust in the Lord that he's going to work in his life regardless of where he's at. Because I've seen many people who've turned their back away from God, and it wasn't until they were humbled by the world where they realized they needed him, you know. And
you know, I have one other question about what he's going through. He used to live in Texas, and he goes back to the town where he was living. Mm-hmm. He lost his job there. A lot of people lost their jobs, and he was one of them. And he goes back there to visit with a couple of friends that he has there, and he goes to their church when he's there.
Yeah.
You know, I encouraged it last time we talked. Is that a good idea?
Sure,
to go visit him? Because it's not real far from where he used to live, Lafayette.
Yeah. Ronnie, what is your nephew's name?
Eric?
Mm-hmm. So if we continue to pray for Eric, number one, that people will come into his life. We're going to pray for certain individuals to come into his life that are going to encourage him, stand by him, and be there as you are, Bonnie, because it sounds like you love your nephew a lot. Yes, and that's wonderful that Eric has you to be there, to be supportive. So I would suggest that you keep calling him and just giving him love.
Okay.
And we'll pray for Eric that the proper people will come into his lives and just encourage him and bring him back, because the Lord doesn't want to let even one sheep go astray.
So we have to believe
that he's going to keep his sheep nearby. And sometimes we have to go through trials and tribulations to understand and really appreciate what we have.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and if you know anybody that, you know, of any of his friends or anything that can also call and just keep him connected with the internet now, it's so amazing how we can stay connected so much easier now.
Well, his parents both call him. And his brother calls him. They play games over the internet.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That he seems to be in a depression.
Right. Mm-hmm. And
so
you know,
we're all trying to get him out of there.
Well, you know, loss is something that does kind of make you sad. I know you've experienced loss, I'm sure. I know I have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a fun place. But it sure, you know, you got to have the downs to really appreciate the ups, don't you?
Yes. Very definitely. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bonnie, for calling. God bless you.
God bless you, too, both of you.
Thank you. Thank you. I have a little book here. It's New Life Every Day, Stephen Arterburn. And the topic of this is Love Me. Please love me. Isn't this what we all think and feel on the inside? We may not want to admit it for fear of rejection, but we all are hungry for love. Some of us are starving for affection because of previous losses. We gather whatever crumbs we can find to feel that hunger deep inside. Part of the process of turning your life over to God involves developing healthy relationships with people and with God. It's scary to say, please love me, but it's worth the risk. If you don't satisfy your hunger for love in a legitimate way, you'll be driven toward depression, anxiety, addictions, or compulsive behaviors. God designed us to love and be loved. Take a look at the story of Ruth in the Bible. It's a great story about a woman who wasn't afraid to say, please love me. Isn't that, I mean, just say that to yourself. Please love me. Isn't that wonderful? We all want to be loved, don't we? First Corinthians 13. I was at a wedding yesterday. My assistant actually asked me to be the witness for him getting married. And it was a wonderful thing, honor, to be asked to be the witness for his marriage. And to hear the wedding vows just between him and her, and to hear what is said. It's just, I don't know, it's amazing. And 1 Corinthians 13 is something that's always mentioned. Why? Because it's talking about love and what love is. So if you are not familiar with the Bible, because we have new believers and people that are just getting into the Word, for those people, 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. And if you read that, then you're going to have a definition or an understanding of what love is. Is that right?
It's true. It is.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is, it's written for all of us, not just written to married couples. But
well, we have to be reminded all the time,
yeah,
don't we?
Do.
We have to be reminded. Ooh, I have that one, and I'm doing that one, but that one, I need some work there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, always. Myself included.
Yes. Okay, so here's another question for you. Why is it so important to live effective for God as a non-married person?
Well, the big thing is, because for a lot of people that are single and who are living their lives right now, because a lot of times, you know, for many people who are not married, it's usually a transition period. You know, people want to get married. And so a lot of times, and what we see as a lot of married couple, marriage in Scripture, and people who have gotten married as far as like Aquila and Priscilla, they always had a purpose. Their always purpose was to serve the Lord. And obviously it starts as a single person. You know, as we live effective lives for God, it's going to trickle down into our dating relationships and eventually into our marriages. So that's partly why I encourage people, you know, just to really, you know, prioritize God now, because as we prioritize God now, it's going to carry over to all our relationships, whether it be friends or family or, you know, at our work. And people are going to see that. And it's going to be that much easier when you're in a marriage, when you have not just your relationship with God, but relationship with your significant other to worry about.
That's so true. The challenges single people face as they date and form relationships in today's culture. What are some of those challenges that you hear from the people that you're ministering to?
A lot of it is just, and I hope I don't sound like I'm killing romance, because it is a good thing and it's definitely needed in dating relationships. But I think sometimes we can get caught up in
feelings.
In feelings, and also to more poorly, how our culture depicts it, you know, mostly, you know, romantic comedies or even Disney movies, you know, growing up watching Disney movies, whether it be Tangled or Princess Bride, you know, all happy endings are with couples. And sometimes people, and it's a good thing, but sometimes people forget that as people get married, you know, it's not always easy. It's a challenge. And knowing how to work through those challenges and just live life as a believer. It's just
What are some things non-married people should know before they get married?
Some of those things, I always encourage people to talk to married couples to ask some of their challenges, whether they be newlyweds or whether it be more mature couples that have been married for, you know, 15 plus years, 15, 20, that have grandkids. It really allows us to understand like what marriage is all about, and also to just understand like the biblical view of it. Really, it's really a fresh reflection of really of Christ and His church, you know. And as married couples, we should be reflecting that Christ is a symbolic of the groom, you know, showing a sense of unconditional and sacrificial love towards his bride, which is, you know, the woman. And so those are things I really encourage people to really think through and really pray through. You know, those are things that would you guys be able to model as a married couple? And more importantly, getting really not just the good, but also the challenges that come with marriages, and that only comes from, you know, more mature, more experienced believers like yourself, Sue.
Oh.
And so those are some of the things that I encourage people to talk to, and you know, whether, and also to just to continue just to see if you guys are truly compatible as, you know, Christians. Will you guys be more effective in serving the kingdom together than you would be apart? You know, those are some things that forget to take account for, and really how do you guys help encourage each other in your faith, you know, and how you guys can continue to prioritize God in your lives as you guys are together. Are you guys more a distraction, or are you guys really a compliment in your relationship with God? So those are some things I really challenge and encourage people to really think and pray through, you know, as they move on into a dating relationship. And
so those are some of those questions I was asking on the first half, is what kind of questions do you ask to know if it has a success, success is going to happen.
Yeah.
You have to like follow these checkoff lists. You know, it's like, and every person has things that are important to them.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them, I'm sure they have similarities of, you know, how important do you think it is to go through premarital counseling before getting married? How important do you think that is?
I think it's very important. I think more importantly, people should go through even not premarital, but pre-engagement counseling.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, because I think a lot of times when people are already engaged, they're dead set. They're going to get married.
Right. And, so before that.
So even before that, I would do some kind of pre-engagement where, you know, again, just, you know, talk through, like, what are your guys' desires? You know, talk about money. Talk about how you guys spend your time. You know, talk about how each other's families, what kind of roles they have in this relationship. You know, just talk through a lot of the variables. A lot of it's common sense, even things that you want. You know, do you guys want to, you know, eventually go onto the mission field? Do you guys want to just serve at the local church? You know, things just to kind of get out in the open. You know, and a lot of this, it is more important to, you know, do pre-engagement. And even, again, more importantly, I can't stress enough of just talking to more mature saints, more mature believers who've been married for a long time, who really, and especially the ones, longer they've been married, obviously, I would think the better, just to help really get a really firm and realistic view of what marriage is all about, you know, and most of all, do it for the purpose of furthering the kingdom, first and foremost, because it's really God's good. Is the one's going to honor and bless it. And a good understanding of biblical love, it is through sacrificial love that this relationship's going to work. And you know, we best be doing it now.
You know, in the Bible it talks about that if you're at the altar and you have any problem with anybody, you're to leave your gift or your sacrifice or whatever at the altar, and you go take care of whatever the issues are. Yeah. In the Bible, it's not saying this is for married couples or single people. This is anybody.
Anybody, yeah.
So you know, as a single, you know, we need to make things right with the people that have, up until this point, whatever age we're at.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying we. I'm not there. But we have to take care of whatever issues we have. We should take care of them with those people that we have issues with. And that's not just for married couples. That's for single couples.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's a struggle to be single because there's so much pressure. You know, people are saying, gosh, you're how old and you're not married yet. Or you know, what's wrong with you or whatnot, I think, for some people. I mean, I have people in my life that have never been married, and they're older. And it's not that they don't want to get married. They do want to get married, but they don't want to just get married to get married.
Yeah, exactly.
They want to be the right person, but they also want to find the right person that God wants for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really big question. You know, it's not just about finding Mr. or Mrs. Wright. It's being Mr. or Mrs. Wright for that person.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you know? I mean, it's hard to say, you know, that how do you know? How do you know that this is the right person? How do you know that this is the one? That's a tough question right there.
Yeah, it is.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so is that something you want me to answer?
If you have an answer, I'd like to hear that one if you have an answer.
Yeah, there's really no clear-cut answer. I mean, people say, you know, people have asked me, you know, is there just the one for you, or are there multiple ones, you know? And it's hard, you know, because, again, we're all have sin in our lives, and, you know, everyone we're going to meet, there's going to be certain traits that we like about them, even, you know, physical attraction, what they do, you know, their hearts for God. But at the same time, everyone, you know, we're all sinners, and we have, you know, a certain degree of sin. And one of the questions we have to ask, you know, when we meet the one or whoever they are, you know, are we also not just, you know, obviously do we really enjoy and love this person, but at the same time, are we also willing to help them grow and become more Christ-like? And that's what a really big question that I encourage people to ask too, you know. And it's so hard, you know, but I do, this is one thing I do believe, and something I've prayed and struggled through. I really believe that God, in a sense, has multiple people that we can, in a sense, marry, because there is a degree of responsibility in our choosing. But I believe that these choices are range from worse, good, to better, and best. And what I mean by that is, like, worse meaning we get in a relationship just for the sake of getting a relationship. You know, we're lonely, we're desperate. And
that's the wrong time.
Yeah, it's the wrong timing. Basically, just you don't see the you don't see the you don't see the red flags, and you just get a relationship. And
it's wrong time to get in a relationship.
And it's just basically it's just a marriage made in hell, and that's the best way to put it. And then there's there's good and better and best. You know, it's are you being patient? Are you seeking the Lord on these things? Are you getting wise counsel? And so those are reasons why I say that, because there have been marriages that I've seen where people, where good friends, have warned a couple, you shouldn't get married. You guys are bad for each other. And when they got married, and it just blew in their faces, and it was bad. And there's some people that really, they did their best to honor the Lord. They prayed, they sought the Lord, they served together in certain ministries, whether it be in church or inner city. And they, when she got married, and it was amazing. And those are, your better best. So, it's really hard, but the bottom line is, and I've asked people, people have just said they knew in their heart or knew in their gut that this was the one, and so there, it's hard. I mean, but the good thing is, like, we do have scripture to help us evaluate that, to evaluate where we're at, but where the person we're dating or potential spouse is at too. So we just have to, obviously continue to grow in biblical love and just be humble and just evaluate ourselves and the relationship itself.
I think in my wisdom, I would say that can you put this other person before yourself in all things? Are you willing to put this person before your own desires, before your own needs? Mm-hmm. Are you willing to put this other person before you? And if you want to do that, if you desire to put that other person before you, mm-hmm. and that other person desires to put you before them,
that's true.
Yeah. What a magnificent relationship you could have. Because the I is what causes problems. It's a selfishness. I have somebody that's listening that has a question. How do you know when you are ready to be committed? That's the first part of the mm-hmm. question. Can we answer that quick? Because we're running out of time.
Okay.
How do you know when you are ready to be committed? Wow.
It's a hard question.
Yes, it is.
It is.
And I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah.
Have you ever had that asked?
Yeah, plenty of times. And depending on the catch me, I answer it differently.
Depending on the person and where they are.
Yeah,
that's a difficult thing about radio. See,
yeah, it is.
You can't see, you can't interact with your audience so much. So it's more difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. No, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
And obviously you do a better job than I do. So.
Well, thank you for that. But I just think it takes a little practice.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
Honestly, I guess the general answer is, really, is this something you truly want to honor God with, and just evaluating your motivation behind it. Because if it is just for selfish and self-gratification, it can be disastrous. But when we're doing it for the right reasons, to really truly honor God, and like you said, Sue, just if you can really humble yourself and put this other person first, then amen, it's going to be a beautiful thing, and just really, if both you guys can really live out this thing called biblical love and really be sacrificed for each other, then it can be truly amazing and really live out that, love being sincere and love being genuine, where you love each other just for the sake of loving each other and not wanting anything in return, but just love and give this to this person, then
because we're all going to fall short in relationship.
That's true.
And another thing is, if you're in a dysfunctional family unit and you've never been taught how to fight fair, you can have mm-hmm. an argument. And I've always said this, is that it's so much better to seek to understand than it is to seek to be understood. Because mm-hmm. if we're seeking to understand, then you're looking for the other person, what's happening with them? How do they feel? What do they think? Mm-hmm. And if your whole desire is to be understood, then you're going to come up with a brick wall in front of you. Another question is, how can you prepare yourself to do it in God's eyes?
Prepare yourself to do it in God's eyes.
Yeah.
Good question. Yeah. Obviously, stick to the basics, continue to grow in your faith and continue. I always encourage people, just always continue to evaluate your motives. Are you continuing prioritizing God? And are you really loving God? And are you really genuinely loving people, just for the sake of loving people? Are you living that out? Are you living that 1 Corinthians 13 kind of love with everybody, now and your friends? And it is a hard thing. And it's just something you just gotta, continue to do. And as that happens, I really believe God will, when you're ready and when you wants you to, you know, you'll be married, and that's just how it is, you know. And because I've heard a lot of people just try and not work out, and eventually they just prioritize the Lord, and whoops, and lo and behold, there's just someone for them. So it's a hard, yeah, it is hard. Another,
if we go into marriage with the desire or the goal or the mission is that the marriage is a mission, it's a ministry, and it's a mission, and you're going to work together in that mission. Even if you have separate jobs and you're doing different things, your marriage is a mission field, and you are called to walk the walk, talk the talk, because there's people watching. And you want to make sure that the kids that you have and that you're responsible for, that God puts in your hands for a certain period of time, that you are going to be a good witness to them and those that they hang with, you know, as parenting. I mean, that's a whole nother topic for another day, parenting. But as singles, my advice it would be this, is that get as close as you can to God. Understand what you were made for, what your purpose is here on this earth. And if you can find a helpmate, if you can find somebody that can walk alongside you and encourage you, and you can encourage them, you build each other up to where you can be more for the kingdom, not less. You're not going to tear each other down. You're going to build each other up. And, you know, everybody has their little things. We all are sinners. You know, we are. I mean, we all have our baggage. But if we can build each other up and look for the good in each other, look for that good report, then we're going to make this place a better place. We're going to make this world a better place. And if we make our marriage a mission field and have a purpose and a goal, and we stay focused on that goal and that purpose, then we won't get tempted and we won't get off track. We're going to stay focused on that. Would you agree with that?
I completely agree with you.
So as a single, we have to be focused on what our mission is. What did God create us for? What is our gifts that God gave us? And how are we going to use those for his kingdom? Mm-hmm. I have another thing here, and it says, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small doesn't serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our light shine, I love that, let your light shine in the darkness, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Isn't that wonderful? I love that. So, with that all being said, what are we learning? What's the takeaway for today's day's time together, Dave? What would you say the takeaway is? We have 2 minutes.
2 minutes. Oh, yeah, just continue to prioritize God in our lives. Continue to grow in that biblical love, you know, that love that's self-sacrifice and love that really puts others before you. And continue to just grow. And as we grow, you know, in God's timing, you know, everything else will take care of itself. And if that's anything I could say, is just really just – just growing that and knowing that God does honor that, and the irony is this biblical love is really what defines us as believers, and I continue to do so, whether it be in your marriage, as with your friends or people at work, and just living that out, and we will be in a sense of a light, and everything else is gonna take care of itself.
So do you talk to the people in your group about gifts, like God's gifts? You know, they were given gifts. Mm-hmm. Do you talk about that?
Yeah, and there's a degree of purpose in that, too. We're all wired differently. You know, some of us are very outgoing. Some of us are very hospitable. You know, some of us are gifted at teaching. Some of us just love to serve, and it's something that we all need to do. And as we are in our singleness, we can learn those gifts and really be effective in them as we grow in them and spend time with other people.
Awesome. Well, it's been great, Dave Zarino, having you on, and appreciate your insight and input. Join us next week for our guest. And who is the guest? Mark Peterson with Christian Credit Counselors, as he speaks about how to honor God and get out of debt. Boy, that's going to be a good one. See you next week. God bless you, and you are forgiven. Reach up. He's there. He's always there, day or night. He never sleeps. Isn't that wonderful? God bless you. Bye.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy, and they start looking for a home, your home.
Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.